Tonight I want to base our teaching from the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 33. The Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 33, which says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Hallelujah. Scripture of comfort there. And I'm simply calling this teaching tonight, "In the world you will have tribulation." In the world you will have tribulation. And it's interesting in this, in which he says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." And that is essential, that word peace, because he says, "In the world you will have tribulation." But he says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And the reality, or the sign that he's overcome the world, in which we go through tribulation, is that he ministers that peace. So that peace, that word peace, is essential for us to experience, knowing that he has overcome. And therefore, even though we go through tribulations, we have that good cheer, or that he says, or "be of good cheer, be of comfort, know that I have overcome the world." But it is essential that peace is there. Now, this is a peace that the work of Christ, into which we enter by faith. So this peace that we have is wrought to us through our faith as we enter into Christ. And secondly, there is peace from God, which we draw from the Word of God. So as we come together, we hear God's word ministered to us. It is not only a comfort, but it ministers that peace, that assurance that the word of God will give to the believer who's filled with the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, this idea of this peace, it's a peace of God. And this is the inward peace through commitment. It is an inward peace that he works through us, so that we can overcome all these anxieties, these worries, and we can trust totally in him. If we open the door to these worries and anxieties, then they rob us of that peace, which all of us know. We've all experienced this. So again, he has a way of ministering this peace to us. And fourthly, there is a peace that we will experience that comes in the future, during the time when Christ comes back to rule and reign, when he brings peace upon the earth, where he will rule and reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this idea, of course, Christ coming back to the world, in which he's going to come, we see this in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. We're still looking at this idea of this peace that he gives to us. That's why he says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And we know that he's overcome the world because he works that peace within us. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 24, of which he says, "Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." So there will be finally a world peace, an eternal, everlasting peace. This is the world, which means the cosmos, the whole world. So there are many ways that we experience this peace and will experience this peace. That's why he says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, to overcome, we know so well, and we've had much teaching about this, and seven times in the book of Revelation it speaks about the overcomers and what the overcomer will receive to those who overcome, those who stay with it. Just to remind ourselves, in Revelation 2 and verse 7, of which he says, as he opens up to the seven churches, he says here, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And this is what's being opened up to us now in these last days. We're being shown that as we overcome, the deeper life, pressing in, going deeper with God, is all about overcoming. And there are seven areas we can overcome. We can take these spiritually from these seven churches, which of course is being wrought through the church and through each one of us. But there is a promise to those who overcome, those who stay with it, those who believe, whatever the situation. And we're all of us in hopeless situations. We're in, all of us, where we're in situations around us, it's getting worse. We only have to listen to the news and it's getting worse. We only have to hear what's going on in our neighborhood and it's getting worse. Even at times when we look at our families, it's getting worse. Everything around us is getting worse. It's not getting better. And if anyone's saying, oh yes, everything's getting better, well, I wonder what news they're listening to. Because it isn't. We are experiencing the falling away in these last days. And in those adverse conditions we find ourselves, God says, overcome in it. So this has to be a work of Almighty God in the situation that we're in the circumstances that we're in, which is getting worse and worse. God says, overcome, stay with it. So this has to be the power of God, and God who will preserve and keep us in impossible situations. That's why it's not by might nor by power, it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's going to be a complete sovereign work of the Holy Spirit with the sons of God coming forth in the last days. That's why flesh will not and cannot boast in any of it. It is all of God. Praise his name. So that is what it is. So in the world you will have tribulation. That's what we're talking about this evening. You see, we are in a continual warfare with the physical, mental, moral, and spiritual areas of our life. I want to give that again. We are in a continual warfare, not only just physically, but mentally, morally, and spiritually. All the areas of our life, we are under attack. And God is allowing that. He's allowing us to be spiritually attacked, both physically, mentally, morally, spiritually, to prove his might, to prove his power, that in weakness we're made strong. He's allowing these attacks to show in his greatness that he has overcome the enemy. He has overcome the powers of darkness. When he hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, it is done, he meant exactly what he said. So that whatever you may be going through, whether you're going through a mental trial, whether you're in a moral or ethical situation, or a spiritual trial or a physical trial, God is allowing that to reveal that in your weakness you overcome. He's allowing us to go through all of this to show us that we can only overcome by the life of God that lives in and through us. as you will fail in all those areas. And he's allowing those areas within us to be tried and tested to show that we are preserved and kept by the life of Christ, who lives in his fullness in us through the working of the Holy Spirit. So this continual warfare that we're talking about is, for example, say my health is the balance between the physical parts of my body and all the things and forces that surround me. In other words, to maintain a good health, I must have sufficient internal strength to fight off the things that are external, because outside my physical is designed, the outside of us is designed to cause death and damnation. This is what the enemy is trying to do. On the exterior, the outside, the world, Satan is trying to damn us. He's trying to attack us. He's trying to trip us up. He's trying to do everything he can. But to those of us who are born again, filled with the Spirit, called from the foundation of the world, all he can be to us, as the Bible tells us, is simply now a roaring lion making all that noise and growl and everything. And it's up to us what we choose to believe. But physically, we can be attacked. The enemy can try and attack us physically. He can try and attack us mentally, in the mind, and so forth. Therefore, because he tries to do that, God has got to equip us spiritually and through the new birth to be able to withstand all these trials, these knocks of the enemy. That is why the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This is why the inner man, the spiritual life, must be sustained, kept, and strengthened in order to be able to weather the storms, the exterior, in other words, of what the enemy tries to work and throw at us. If you are sickly, ineffectual spiritually, then you are going to succumb eventually to these attacks. And this is sadly what happened, because they're not getting the word of God as they should, because they don't have that consecration or that prayer life or whatever it is. They become subject to the enemy and his attacks, and sadly fall and so on. But God has given, through the new birth, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everything and wherewithal for us to be able to stand and overcome in these last days, whatever our circumstances. Otherwise, what is the point? What is the point of being saved? What is the point of being an overcomer? God has not provided for us through the work of the Holy Spirit. So we have to believe, and that's why we embrace the promises of God, which are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus, because those promises are for us today, now, in this life, to overcome and all the things that we meet. So to maintain good health, I must have sufficient internal strength to fight off the things that are external, because outside my physical is designed to cause death and corruption. Everything around us is gradually dying. We are slowly, outwardly, physically dying. So therefore, God in salvation has to place within us that which is eternal, that will fight against these things. So the new birth that is placed within us, and all those promises that God reveals and shows and teaches us about our new birth, our new life, and everything, even in this life, has got to be fighting against what is outwardly trying to destroy us. This is why we believe in divine healing. This is why we cast out demons. This is why we believe in wholeness in mind, body, and spirit, because that is what the gospel is. And thank God it is, because that is a preservation over us, over the church, and being able to stand and survive for nearly 2,000 years as she has. If God didn't put that within believers, the church would not survive. It certainly would not be that light in this world of darkness. You see, the very elements outside my body, once I'm clinically dead, those elements will begin to decay, will begin to take over. That is the fight. When somebody dies, that body begins to decay, rot. That is telling you the fight. That is telling you that the elements outside can destroy. That's what's happened through the fall. That shouldn't have been. So God has to preserve and he has to keep us. You see, the Holy Spirit has come to sustain, to give that life, and to bring that balance needed to sustain that life. And that's why it's often a warfare. Because he's given that life to us, which is sustained and keeps us, this is why we find ourselves in a battle, in tribulations. But what does Jesus say? Be of good cheer, I have overcome. And that peace that we should have in our life is a sign that we are being preserved and kept. And that whatever I'm going through, I am well able to overcome. That is the whole point. So the Holy Spirit has come to create and build that balance, to sustain and keep us in that life. Not only for that, but to enable us in warfare. Because we have to be in warfare. We hear much about this, as God has given this for years to us. Because we're in tribulation. We're in a warfare. We are to allow the Holy Spirit to minister the law of life and not the law of death. That we can put in operation those two laws, whatever we want. We can decide for the law of life or for the law of death. And if we start to go over to the law of death, then we're going to start to find those elements in the world, this fallen world, is going to start to attack and fight and take over in our life. This is why I said at the outset, at the beginning, that we are in a warfare physically, mentally, morally, and spiritually. And we can allow the enemy to take over, to physically cause problems, to mentally cause problems, to morally and spiritually cause problems. And he will. But if we choose the law of life that is in Christ Jesus on the basis of what you sow, what you reap, then we will find God will begin to sustain and keep that physical, mental, moral, and spiritual side of us, which is important. Otherwise, we won't be those overcomers. Otherwise, we won't know what it is to receive that comfort, that peace, through our tribulations that Jesus has said there. Well, looking at this then, taking this a step further, let's look at the area, for example, with the mind. There is, as we know, the battle in the mind. And because there is that battle in the mind, I have to fight with the aid of the Holy Spirit to produce a mental balance, which is called our thoughts, our thought realm. So our thoughts, our thinking, is absolutely vital for us to fundamentally function, to be those Christians. That is why we believe we have the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ being worked being created, worked into our mind, our thinking, our thought realm. And this is why we find at times we are under a battle in the mind. Because as we know, of course, this is where demons attack, those fiery darts. But one of the things that I'm learning, and I brought up before, is that we are slowly but surely coming to a place where we're no longer believing those lies, those suggestions of the enemy in the mind anymore. Because we have experienced in the past how he's tried to trick us, or how he's tried to use God when it was not God, it was him. We're slowly but surely learning his trickery and how he works, and we're coming to that place where we're saying, no, Satan, I don't entertain that, I don't think that, I come against that with the blood of Jesus. We're beginning to find that's happening more and more. It takes time, but God's working, because he's working his mind, because he lives in us. So it's his mind, his thought realm is taking over, you see. Because our thoughts, what we think, is what we are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you think rejection, you think hate, you are that. And so, because we're battling maybe with, say, hate or rejection or unforgiveness, there comes a time when we're so sick of it that we say, no longer will I listen to this anymore. And you confess the blood of Jesus over your mind, and you tell those thoughts, those demons, to depart in the name of Jesus, and they will. So that your thought realm is brought back in line with God's thinking, and so on. He's working this. Then we come to the moral side. The moral side is the same. I have to be strengthened. We know morality, moral, is a virtue, and is acquired with the spiritual, which means anything which is not spiritual will lead to my downfall. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So this is why we're encouraged to walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And in order to do that, God says, you two take up your cross and follow me. And the cross in our lives enables us to be able to walk in the flesh, in the spirit, not in the flesh, which strengthens us morally and ethically and so on, in order that we can overcome even in the flesh. Now, of course, again, this is a miracle. This is, has to be a work of God. It can't be done. Because when man fell, he not only fell spiritually, but he fell morally, ethically. He became a slave of the flesh, of the mind, which is exactly what Satan wants. So God is undoing all of that. We can't do it, but it's the work of the new birth. It's the work of God in our hearts. As we just believe and accept and yield to his word, what he gives to us, and not bicker and argue over it, but simply yield to the word that he brings to us through the anointing, he will work, he will recreate his word, the principle of his word, the power of his word. He will even work it in our flesh life. Because we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Our bodies are to be a temple, a tabernacle, filled with the Holy Spirit. So we, this is where we get this idea of God that works with the whole man, body, soul, spirit, in that sense. And this is why he says we will have these tribulations in this world, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. We're of good cheer because he's overcome. Therefore, the overcomer lives in his fullness in each of us, will now overcome. And the assurance of the overcomer who lives in us, whose name is Jesus, is ministered to us by that peace that he says that he gives us. So that peace in my life, that peace in my mind, my heart and everything is there because I have the overcomer, the one who has overcome the world, living in and through me. And that is why we let go. That is why we yield over to the Spirit. That is why when we go through our trials, our tribulations, all that is doing is you letting go. Your trials are to let go. That's why you're going through them. Now, nobody in their right mind lets go when you're going through a trial. You do anything but. If something is happening, for example, let's say, you know, there's an earthquake and all the ground underneath you is all grumbling and everything, you'll automatically want to grab onto something. Not sure that that might help you, but that's instinctively what we do. If we find ourselves losing our battle, if something's near us, we're going to grab it. That's what the senses do. We don't want to fall. We want that security. We want to hold on to something. But God says, that's the very thing you don't do. You let go. You see? So, of course, that's in the natural world, what I've explained. So when it comes over, trying to hold on in our trials and tribulations, I'm trying to hold on to my common sense. I'm trying to hold on to logic. I'm trying to hold on to what I learnt in the past or what my father or mother taught me to do. I'm trying to hold on. And God said, don't hold on. Let it all go. Let go. And that's what our trials, tribulations are for. We've got to learn this, brothers and sisters, as we're going to go over and over and over the same trial until eventually it will drop and God says, now let go in this trial. Two of us can't hold on. Someone has to let go. And God isn't going to let go because he's overcome the world. So he says, you let go. You know, if you pick up a young child and that young child starts to grip onto you as tight as they can, something within you will say, why is this child gripping and holding me so tight? After all, I'm holding this child, it's not going to fall. And that's exactly what you would say to that child. If you saw a fear or it's gripping onto you, say, don't be afraid, I've got you, I'm not going to drop you. But of course a child very often doesn't think like that because it believes that its parent is going to hold them secure and it knows it's holding them secure. It's the same with an animal. If you pick up a cat, if you're not holding a cat properly, a cat is going to put its claws into your arms because it's fearful, it's feeling it's going to drop. But if you hold a cat properly, secure under its bottom and everything, you will find in time that cat will relax and will start purring and so on because it feels secure. And it's exactly the same with us. We still yet don't feel secure in God's arms in those trials. But he's saying, let go. And that's why we go through these tribulations. because our deliverance to overcome is about letting go. To overcome, you have to let go, as you can't be an overcomer. There's only one who can be in control, and his name is Jesus. He is the captain. You can't have two. And that is the whole point, you see. So, we have to let go. This is why he's strengthening us in the whole man. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And that is it. That is sufficient. We say amen to that. Nothing more can be done. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. It's finished. It's done. He's overcome the world, and so will you in Jesus' name. We don't work out how he's going to do it. We simply know he will do it. How do we know? Because God is love. And he first loved you and me. And nothing will separate us from the love of God. That's why everything will come back to that word love, which we hold on to and never lose sight of. It is his love. And so we learn to yield so that we overcome the things that come against me. Stopping me, in other words, from being spiritual and being led by the Spirit of God. See, the world out there, the enemy uses the world. He uses everything that, remember, he's still at the moment the God of this world. So he uses this world in which to try and weaken you, to try and trip you up. But Jesus said, don't even worry about that. I've overcome those things that he does, that he tries to trip you up with, tries to deceive you, tries to get you to sin, to compromise, and all those things. Jesus said, it's finished, it's done. I've overcome that. And everything that Jesus is and was and always will be, and what he has accomplished on the cross, lives in his fullness in you and me. And he's making the reality of that to us. So each day as we find ourselves walking with God, which is a miracle, I do this because he lives in my life. He has now taken over. And that's why the enemy tries to come against us, but he won't succeed. Because God has decreed that there will be overs in the last days. There will be first fruits who will be brought first and placed upon the altar. There is the man-child to be birthed. We note where the man-child is in Revelation 12. He's right there, isn't he? Close, trying to interfere, trying to bring an abortion or an early birth. He's right there trying to trip us up, but we note and take comfort that he can't touch the man-child who is in the womb of the woman. We see that God is completely in control. God snatches that child away. Look at the preservation. Look at the power of God at work. This is why nothing can touch us, brothers and sisters. We've got to stop listening to the enemy and his lies and his growls. You know, someone said this, and it's very true what they said. Holiness is the balance between my nature and the law of God as expressed in Jesus Christ. Holiness is the balance between my nature and the law of God as expressed in Jesus Christ. That is why he's able to use us. That is why he's able to use us, our characters, us as a person, and put that new nature within us, his nature, so that we can overcome, that we can come through these tribulations. And the sign of all what he's doing in us is that peace that he places within our heart. And if you're going through a trial, you stay in it, you stay there, and you will find peace will take over. If you are confused, stay with it, because that peace, his peace, will take over. In whatever situation we find ourselves, staying with it, overcoming, his peace will be there. And this is how Jesus walked. He walked with that peace within his heart. He was in fellowship, continual fellowship with his Father. Nothing broke that. And that ultimately is what God is working with each of us. Don't try and work out how he's doing this or how he will do it. We just know that he will. You know, a great thing you can confess and believe for, pray for, or claim by faith, whatever you want to do it, is a 7/24 unbreakable fellowship with Almighty God. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Heavenly Father, you said in the world we will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And indeed you have, Father, and that is why we always look to Calvary. We always look to the cross, the finished work. And Father, we thank you again tonight for encouraging us, showing us, Lord, that we can and will overcome, how that you have given us a peace, it's even a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that the world cannot give. And you've shown us, Lord, tonight how that in our warfare, our overcoming, that we are to be in warfare with the physical, the mental, moral, and the spiritual areas of our life. It's not just the physical. Yes, some of us are going through physical trial, but sometimes we find that we need to be in warfare over our minds mentally because the enemy is really pounding, or we're going through some moral and spiritual issue or some decision that I have to make in my life. We need to be sensitive, Father, in all these areas, and only the Holy Spirit can highlight these things in our lives. And this is why our prayer life before you is so essential, Lord. Because we never know what we're going to face. We never know what is round the corner. And that is why we walk and desire to walk 24/7 in that unbroken fellowship with you, Father, as Jesus did as well. That is the goal of the deeper life. And Lord, we know it's not by might nor by power. It can only be by your Holy Spirit that will work this in and through each one of us. And so, Lord, I thank you tonight again for speaking to us. I thank you tonight again, Father, that we have a great opportunity to release that faith and believe your word and what you have said tonight. And indeed, Lord, we do. Because we are your disciples, we are your people, and we love you, and we desire to walk in your ways. So, Father, I pray you'll ever be with us, bless, preserve, and keep each one of us till we assemble again. For this we ask now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I believe, again, we have and to pray on. Be well assured that, you know, the Lord's really, really showing us how we can and we will overcome. And we have everything to gain in this whole walk with Him. And whatever you may be feeling or going through or whatever you're battling with and so on, remember, He's overcome. And if He's overcome, then you overcome. Because what everything Jesus is, you are as well. And of His fullness we have received. Praise His name.